This evening we are looking again at Matthew chapter 4, and I want to speak to you this morning about the call of our Lord Jesus Christ. The call of our Lord Jesus Christ. The call of Christ. Now we've seen that in Matthew chapter 4, there are two things really. First, our Lord Jesus overcomes the devil. That's the first part of the chapter. Christ's victory over Satan. But then, in the rest of the chapter, Christ goes out to apply that victory to others. In other words, he goes out to deliver men from the devil. We saw last week, there's a statement, I think it's in Matthew 12, where he speaks about binding the strong man and then spoiling his goods, taking what he has in his house. Now, you see this in Matthew 4. You also see it in the whole Bible and the whole of history. You see, this is a pattern for history. In history, we have the great final victory of Christ over the devil at Calvary. That's when the prince of this world, or the ruler of this world, was cast out. Christ overcame him. But then, from, as it were, from Pentecost, or from the resurrection onwards, the great, as it were, application of that is that he would send men out into the world to call men to him. And you get the first, as it were, the first kind of picture of the call of Christ in Matthew chapter 4. Now, that's what I want to deal with this morning, the call of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have your Bible open, you will see in verse 17 that Christ himself called men. He went out to preach and to teach. He did it himself, but also he called, in this case, these four men, Simon, Peter and Andrew, James and John, he called them to send them out to call men. He says, I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. And here in this middle of this chapter, we read about the calling of Peter and Andrew, James and John. Now, I want to just make a first of all, I want to make a distinction about the call of Christ, and then observe three things about it. So first of all, let us think about Christ's call in this way. On the one hand, the call of Christ goes out to every single person who lives. We can say it is universal. Do you know what I mean? Every man that lives, the call of Christ goes out to him. He says to his disciples, let me read it to you. These are his words. Mark 16, the last part of Mark. Listen. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And in a moment we're going to read a similar statement in Acts chapter 17. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Now that is the universal call of God and of Christ. The call of Christ goes to every single person who is alive and lives. It is a call to repent and to follow him. That call is universal. But then, this is the distinction. He calls some into the ministry. I use the word the ministry. These were being called to be apostles. They would later be evangelists, prophets, pastors and teachers. But he calls some men into the ministry. One writer describes that as a rare call. A rare call. It's not to everyone. It's not common. And so you have, if you like, two calls of Christ to think about. The call to everyone, and in this chapter particularly, there is the call to these four men, the first of the apostles. So keep that distinction in your mind, but don't also lose the connection between the two. Okay? They are not so separate to be completely divorced, okay? Spurgeon, when he wrote a book, I think he wrote a book called Lectures to My Students. He was speaking to young men who had been called into the ministry. And I think the opening, I haven't checked, but I think the opening chapter was this. The preacher must be, first of all, a saved man. Okay? And what Spurgeon was saying is, the ministry, the call to the ministry is for a few, but you're not even near that unless first you've responded, as it were, to the call of Christ to every sinner to come and repent and follow him. Now then, I want to move on, and I want to observe this morning three things that are common to these two calls. Okay? You do have, in this chapter, you do have both calls. You have Christ preaching to the multitudes, and you have Christ calling for men. These are the two calls, but there's something common, there's something the same about both calls. And the first thing, so three things, the first thing is this, very encouraging, Christ calls the unworthy, the unsuitable. Christ calls those who are unworthy to be called. Isn't that encouraging to you? It is to me. Look at these. You can hardly miss it in this chapter. It says, they were fishermen. They were fishermen. They weren't trained in the schools. They were fishermen. And later on in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, a great verse, it says, when later they were preaching, the scribes, the elders, the Pharisees, they looked at these men and they said, well, they are uneducated and untrained men. In other words, they've never been to a school for preachers. But there they were with their boldness and their courage. And he said, but they noticed that they had been with Jesus. They took notice they had been with Jesus. But the point is this. The scribes and Pharisees said, these men are not trained to be preachers. Christ called untrained men, fishermen. And a little bit later in chapter 9, he calls Matthew the tax collector. Now, I'm sure every Bible reader after a while realizes that tax collector equals bad. Bad men. And the Pharisees were appalled. They were shocked that the Lord Jesus sat down and had contact with the tax collectors. And do you know what? Listen to this. It says, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, listen to these words, those who are well have no need of a doctor, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And these are his great words. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And these are the two important words at the end of that verse. Sinners to repentance. So Christ, you see, Christ was calling unworthy men and women, sinners, to repentance. You know, the last of the apostles, I think, was Saul of Tarsus. And you know, I'm on the point that Christ is calling unworthy men. Do you know what the first words of Christ were to Saul of Tarsus when he met him on the road? What were the first words? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Do you think Saul of Tarsus was worthy to be a child of God and a servant of Christ? Not at all. Not at all. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Says our Lord Jesus. Do you know what Saul says later? He's Paul then. He says, I was formerly, this is Paul writing later, formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He says, of whom I am chief. Of whom I am chief. Now this same Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and his words apply to all Christians. They apply to me. They apply to you. These are his words. Listen. I just turned to it. See your calling, brethren. Not many wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. And here it is, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put the foolish things. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. God has chosen the base things. Those are the ones they're not noble at all. They're from the crowds and from the gutter. Those who are the base things of this world, he has chosen. He says, he has chosen the things that are not. He's describing those whom he's chosen to be his children. They are the fools. They are the weak. They are the nobodies of this world. That's the first thing. Christ calls the unworthy. Says in Romans, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Christ calls the unworthy. He called fishermen, tax collectors, and a persecutor of the church. But then there's a second thing I want you to observe, and you may not have realized it. The call of Christ is a command. It is a royal command. When he sends out his servants with the gospel into this world, he gives them a command, or a word of command. The universal call of Christ is a command of the King from heaven. It is a command of God from him. The word of Christ, the call of Christ, does not come out like this. Would you like to consider Christ? Would you like to think about becoming a Christian? That's not the call of Christ. The call of Christ is, follow me. Repent. That's the call of Christ. Those are commands. And because of that, let me tell you this, that to refuse the command of Christ is to incur great guilt. It is a very serious thing. And you and I know that many in this world will brush Christ off. They'll hear a sermon, they might hear a Christian witnessing to them, and they hear that Christ has called them as sinners to repent and to follow him. And they say, I'm not going to do that. Why would I want to do that? They brush off Christ. But in so doing, let me tell you, they bring upon themselves condemnation for disobeying a command of the King of Heaven. That's the level that we're at. To refuse Christ is deadly serious. Listen, listen to this. John chapter 3. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He goes on, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You know, the call of Christ goes out to every man, every sinner. And when they say no to Christ, they are disobeying him. And not only that, but they are revealing that they love darkness. They don't want his light. They don't want to surrender their lives to him. They are refusing the King of Heaven. Let me read those words from Acts 17 that I mentioned earlier on. Listen. Truly, Paul is preaching. The Apostle Paul is preaching. He said, truly, he says to them, these times of ignorance God overlooked. But these are the words, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he ordained. And he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Now, the call of Christ is a divine summons to him. Now, we know that many will refuse it. Nevertheless, that is the nature of the call of Christ. It's not a bright idea. It's not something to be interested in. It is a life-claiming, authoritative word from heaven. You know, the same thing I said, that we're talking about calls which are in common. The same thing is true of the summons or the call to the ministry. If you read the letters of the Apostle Paul, he usually begins with words like this. He says, I am a called apostle. He says, I am an apostle by the will of God. He says, I am an apostle in 1 Timothy. I am an apostle by the commandment of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He's not saying, I thought it was a good idea, or I felt drawn to do this. See, God has commanded me to do this. To the Corinthians he says, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel of Christ. Necessity is laid upon me. Can you understand the authority with which the call of Christ is issued? In the chapter we read in John chapter 15 verse 16, did you notice Christ's words to them? You did not choose me. And he's speaking to the disciples. In the upper room there, you did not choose me. But I chose you and appointed you. The word appointed there might as well be the word commanded. I laid this upon you. You see, to spurn the gospel, although many do it, makes a man guilty before God. And the same applies to those who are called, truly called into the service of Christ in office. To turn back from the call of Christ to his service is a serious matter. It is a matter of disobedience. Many of you know those words. Demas has forsaken me, being in love with the present world. Demas. Well, so we notice that Christ calls the unworthy And we've noticed that he calls by way of command. But thirdly, he calls those he calls in order that they should bear fruit. You see this in John 15:16. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. When Christ calls a man to be a Christian, to be a disciple, and especially when Christ calls a man to be an elder or a deacon or a minister, when that happens, he is doing it because he wants you to bear fruit. He doesn't want dead branches. He makes it clear. He doesn't want people who say, I'm a Christian. But you find that when the Christian church is called, and when his brothers and sisters are called to serve the Lord in one way or another, he's gone absent without leave. He's not there. He's just bearing the name of a Christian, but not the life of a Christian. That the Lord wants spiritual fruit in us. He wants, for example, for us to be conformed to him with respect to his love. If you look at John 15 again, he keeps coming back to this. I want you to love one another. That is spiritual fruit. The way in which you relate to the brothers and sisters around you, he has put them there for you to love them. That's why we're sitting together. And however difficult that might be, and however much we must call for grace and the help of his Spirit, that's why we're here. Brother to brother, sister to sister. That's the nature of being a Christian, that we bear fruit. And without that basic, there will be no fruit. How will you ever help someone that you don't know? You don't know what's happening in their life. You don't love them. Why would you help them? Why did Christ come to help us, die for us? Because he loved us. It's fundamental. Now, the fruit, the spiritual fruit that he seeks, is much more than that, but that is an example. And in his teaching here, he's calling us to serve him fervently with love. But he's also warning, if you are a branch and you don't bear fruit, you will be cut off. In other words, you will be condemned. Your soul is in peril. That's part of this. Look, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. This ought to be a great concern to understand. Why has the Lord called you, called me? He's called us, he's commanded us, and he's commanded us that we might bear fruit. So this should be of great concern to us. And I close by saying, let us pray for a tender heart, and for perseverance. Amen.